Let's pray together as we begin. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you are at work in this world, that you still are saving people from their sins and leading them into eternal life. God, this morning, as we turn our attention towards the work that you are doing here in Bakersfield and nearby in Santa Barbara on college campuses, God, we pray that people, that we as a church, that our people would be inspired and challenged and encouraged to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our neighborhoods, to come alongside those who are missionaries in the field, to lift up missionaries in prayer, with hope, with confidence, that we serve a God who delights in saving people from their sins. So God, be at work here in this place this morning. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is Mission Sunday here at First Presbyterian Church, and it's going to be a little different today. And we're going to hear during this portion of the service from two of our missionaries, and they're going to tell us a little bit about the work that's happening really throughout InterVarsity, but also specifically here in Bakersfield. But before we do, we want to set the stage out of Psalm 78. And we want to talk about trajectories. You know, when we were putting the reading together for this week, and Revelation 21 was the reading that I landed on, I almost pulled that final verse. It talks about those who are outside, those who don't put their faith in Jesus Christ, those who are consigned to the second death. I almost pulled that because it's a heavy place to end a reading on. But it's important. Because Revelation 21 is all about trajectories. It's about the trajectory of what God is doing in this world. He is leading his church and his people and all that he's called to himself from every tongue, tribe, and nation. He's calling us all into the kingdom of God. And that kingdom culminates in a new heaven and a new earth. And all who put their faith in him will experience eternal life with Christ in his glory forever. But then there are those who are on a different trajectory. Those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, those who don't know him, those who have rejected him in their lives. And their trajectory is to go through this life and enter into death only to then turn around and find themselves entering into a second death, an eternity under the wrath of God in hell. When we talk about Mission Sunday, when we talk about the work of missions, we do mercy ministry and we meet people's needs, but ultimately our goal is to see people come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ because our lives are on a trajectory, either a trajectory into glory with Christ forever or a trajectory into hell. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is the way that we remain on the correct trajectory in the power of Christ, but also the burden that we have to see people switch trajectories. Because God does not simply decree it and let it go, but he calls us to go into the world with the good news of Jesus Christ, to share that gospel message. And in the power of the word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit brings people to life and sets them on a new trajectory of hope and joy and glory. When we think about missions, then, we are thinking ultimately about heaven and hell things, life and death. This is a serious matter. And the way that we pass this faith down to the next generation matters. We don't want to see the next generation wander away from Christ, but rather we want them to continue in the trajectory that they have been set on by us, but even before us, by our ancestors. Let's look at Psalm 78 together. I'm going to read it as we go this morning. And so Psalm 78, verse 1 begins this way. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We are here today because of the things our ancestors told us. Because people went before and they met Jesus Christ and they turned around and they shared that good news with us. It is a very rare thing to find somebody who comes to Christ separate from the work of someone who came before. I knew a guy once who came to faith through reading Gideon Bible and praying the prayer in the back. And initially I thought to myself, wow, it's somebody who came to Christ without anybody else pouring into him. And then I remembered that a Gideon put that Bible there. And that there was a group of people who were praying that when those Bibles went into that hotel room, that the word of God would not return void. We are followers of Jesus because of those who came before us. We live in a stream, in a trajectory of faithful generation after faithful generation, sharing the faith with those who don't know Jesus, that they might be saved. So there are these ancestors that we are still connected with, that this stream of ancestors where Jesus is saving his people and bringing them into glory, into a new heaven and a new earth. And so it is in honoring our ancestors that we turn around and we share the gospel with the next generation, because the psalmist continues, we will not hide them from their descendants. These things that save, these hidden things of Christ, that the Son of God would take on flesh and dwell among us, that he would die for our sins and rise again, that we would have eternal life. These mysterious, glorious things we pass down not only to our descendants, but to their descendants. These are the descendants of our ancestors. You see, this stream continues. God saving his people generation after generation. We share the gospel. We lean into the future in honor of where we have come in our past. Our past propels us into the future to share the good news with those who don't know it. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. And the sharing of this generational good news, that God saves his people from their sins, that's not only for our children and grandchildren, it is. But this next generation of faith may be the first generation for somebody else. When we share the gospel with somebody, they may come to Christ and nobody in their family has ever followed Jesus. But now they will pass their faith on to the next generation. And generations are transformed. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn will tell their children. We share this good news in the hope that God will do a generational transformation in people's lives, that not only our children, not only people who've never known Jesus before, not only would they put faith in Christ, but that their children, not even yet born, would now be raised in a covenant family and know the work of Jesus Christ, know what it is to be saved. How glorious would it be to hear of somebody who says, I am a follower of Jesus because my parent came to Christ in a college ministry. It's generational work that we are about because God is a generational God. They would not be like their ancestors, this is the prayer, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. You see, here are our two trajectories. There are those ancestors who were faithful and passed their faith down from generation to generation. But then there are others who wander from the faith, others who don't pass down their faith to their kids. Maybe they pass down being a good citizen. Maybe they pass down good church attendance. But they didn't pass down a burning love for Christ, a devotion to our Heavenly Father, a hunger for the things of the Spirit. That didn't get passed down. And yet God is about transforming trajectories so that those who are on a trajectory to an eternal death might be transformed and now be pursuing eternal life in Christ. That's what missions is about. Sharing the gospel in prayerful reliance on the Holy Spirit, that he would bring the dead to life, transform sinners into saints. And so we send missionaries. We send them around the world. We send them to places like Bosnia. I got to be in Bosnia a few years ago. So I have an idea of the hard ground Lilia is talking about. It is a very hard place. So to hear those stories of people coming to Christ is profound. And it's not just happening in Bosnia. It's also happening here. And it's happening in Bakersfield, and it's happening through a ministry called InterVarsity. This whole morning is about InterVarsity, from Bosnia right into our own backyard. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to hear from a couple of our missionaries who are doing great campus work. Our first missionary we're going to hear from, her name is Kelsey Schuett. You may know her as Kelsey Green. She is now Kelsey Schuett. So come on up. Would you welcome Kelsey for us? We're excited. All right. So, Kelsey, welcome back. Good to see you. We are going to talk a little bit about InterVarsity, kind of at a 30,000-foot level, but the 30,000 also starts with the personal. So why don't you start with why college ministry in the first place? How did college missions become what you're giving your life to?
Yeah, well, it's fun that you're talking about generations and the little comment about your parents coming to faith in InterVarsity. My parents did not come to faith in InterVarsity, but they were deeply impacted by college ministry. Then they started working for InterVarsity. I was raised seeing that, and now I work for InterVarsity. So it's cool to see that the generational process and how the Lord works through that. But also, I was particularly transformed when I was a student in InterVarsity. I knew who the Lord was, but I really got to meet Jesus and just create an intimacy with him that I had never experienced when I was a student with InterVarsity. And so that is what brought me to InterVarsity, but what has kept me working with college students is part of our vision for InterVarsity is to see students and faculty transformed, campuses renewed, and world changers developed. And those things can be true in any ministry, but the one that I really love is the world changers developed portion, because in college ministry, we have access to so many students. There are 24,000 students at UC Santa Barbara, and I don't know where else I could meet 24,000 students in one day other than a college campus, right? And obviously, I couldn't meet 24,000 students in one day. But every time I'm on campus, I have access to hundreds and hundreds of students. And those students encountering Jesus, graduating, going into the world, they can be equipped as world changers, whether they go to be a mechanic, a lawyer, a missionary for the kingdom. Those students encountering Jesus on campus helps us to equip them to be world changers and be sent. So it feels like my reach can be global while being in one city, and I think that's really powerful, and that's one of the things that has kept me in college ministry.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So when people think about missions, often they're thinking about someone like Lilia in Bosnia, yeah. Or maybe our Hugo team who just went to Mexico and did really great work down there. Maybe don't think about missions as going to a college campus. Yeah. And so would you talk a little bit more about why college campuses are such a valuable mission field?
Yeah, well, like I said, the students who encounter Jesus on their college campus then get equipped to go everywhere all around the world. They also get equipped to talk about the gospel on their own campus. So students are going to classes. Our largest lecture hall holds like 800 students. So they're going to class, and they're passing 800 students, and that's just one class. So a lot of what we do is equipping students to be able to talk about their faith, grow deeper in their faith, talk about it, and share how God is moving. And they get to do that on campus. They get to have this massive reach, and then they get to graduate and do that even more everywhere else. So I think that's the global impact of a small local college ministry is, like you said, something that you wouldn't think about as being global, but it actually really is. And that's not to mention the international students. Oh, I love international student ministry, because you literally send them back across the world and they get to share with their families about Jesus.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we've noticed when we talk about global missions is the world comes to the U.S. still for college.
Yep.
And so you can reach people who maybe otherwise wouldn't ever hear the name Jesus.
Yeah.
But now they're on a college campus here and we get to introduce Jesus to them. It's beautiful. Now, walk me through quickly, what is a day in the life of campus ministry so that people have an idea this is what you're doing when you're doing mission work on a college campus?
Yeah. Well, it's very different every day, and that's part of what I love about the job. But the first thing is that you get the morning to yourself, because no college student wakes up before 12. And then once they're out of bed, a lot of our day revolves around student discipleship. So one of our goals is to work ourselves out of a job in some ways, to where we are equipping students to learn how to lead the Bible studies with their peers. We're equipping them to preach if they want to learn how to preach and teach, how to articulate the gospel, how to study scripture, how to lead prayer meetings, how to lead worship, all of those things. So we spend a lot of time doing discipleship with our student leaders, and that's soul care, but it's also learning these skills, going through scripture together. So a lot of our day will be discipleship. We have prayer meetings on campus sometimes throughout the week. We have Bible studies in the evenings, and then once a week, all of those Bible studies come together for a large group. We have small groups and large groups. It's very creative. But the large groups are when all of the students come together, and it basically acts as like a small church service for the college students, so they can connect with each other. But my favorite part is the small group Bible studies, where we help students lead each other through Scripture in a way that we have found is helpful for people who have been a Christian a long time and people who have never opened the Bible. It makes it really accessible. You're teaching students that they can read the Bible for themselves and that they can learn what it's saying. And most importantly, we spend a lot of time in application. So what does this passage mean for our lives and how can we be changed by it? And then we send them out to practice and then next week we say, how did it go? And then we do it all over again. So usually I get to end my day with some kind of touch point with a group of students who are all over the spectrum when it comes to their faith. We have a Bible study right now where almost all of them have no faith background and they're bringing their other friends who have no faith background because they're like, hey, I'm trying to learn what I believe. What do you believe? And they're like, I don't know. So they're just bringing all of their non-Christian friends. It's really cool. But then the other one is full of people who grew up in the church and they're going like deeper on a different level. So getting to end the day usually with a touch point with students in that way is really, really special. And then you have some like admin and emails, but that's boring stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting to hear. I mean, this is similar to what's happening on a lot of college campuses throughout InterVarsity and globally, as you saw with their partnership with AU. So, Kelsey, thanks for being here. Yeah. Thanks for sharing with us. I'm excited about what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming today. Thank you. So that's InterVarsity on kind of a 30,000-foot level. But InterVarsity is active here in Bakersfield as well. So I want to invite up Paul Bentham. He's going to talk to us a little bit about what's happening here in Bakersfield and ways that we can get involved. So, Paul, welcome. Glad
Thank
you're
you
here
so
today.
Much.
Thanks for joining us. So we've been hearing about why campus ministry, college missions is important kind of on a global level. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit, what does that look like on the ground here in Bakersfield?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I do want to share one thing about what happened with me. So I started college at UNLV Las Vegas as an atheist, and I met an InterVarsity person, and they invited me to church. So speaking about trajectories, this is how you could change someone's trajectory. I told him, absolutely not, over my dead body, I would never go to church. And then in the same breath, he didn't even skip a beat. He looked me in the eye, and he said, no problem. Do you want to go to In-N-Out? And we could get animal fries, you could tell me why you're an atheist, and I could tell you why I think God is pretty cool. And so I offer that to you as a way to change, a very simple way to change someone's trajectory, to invite them to church. Please invite them to church. And if or when they say no, just don't stop there. Invite them to something else, have lunch, to talk about spiritual things. So I just offer that to you. But here in town, it's really, really fun. My wife and I moved here 6 years ago to reinvigorate the InterVarsity ministry that's been here for a long time. And in 6 years, we've planted 6 campuses.
Pretty cool.
It's absolutely insane. We started with one group at Bakersfield College and then included Cal State Bakersfield, and then we went to Taft College, and then we went to College of the Sequoias, Porterville College, and we're also on San Joaquin Valley College, a trade school here in town, which is radical. It's so fun to be here. And some of the ups and downs of this, San Joaquin Valley College, we do have a group in the afternoon during the lunch period for students there, but we kept meeting more students, evening students, that said, will you come and have a Bible study in the evening for us? And so we went to the administration, we said, can we start a second group? And they said no. So I would love for you to pray. They didn't give a reason, but I would love for you to pray. They allowed us to have a lunchtime group. I would love for you to pray that the administration eventually allows us to have an evening group as well. A couple of things. I just want to share a couple of quick stories. So it's taken years, but we finally started a ministry to nursing students at Cal State Bakersfield. And when we started it, we had 5 students come. One was a Mormon. One was a Sikh. One was an atheist, one was an agnostic, and one was a Muslim. And so I'm sitting at a table with these 5 people. How in the world do I share Jesus with them? How in the world do I actually keep them at the table? Because they don't agree with each other. And that's the gospel. How do you sit in a room with people who don't agree with you and don't agree with each other, don't trust you, don't trust each other, and that's where Jesus works. That's absolutely where Jesus works. Every time I'm walking to campus and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. Please do something, Jesus. And he did. So the Mormon became a Christian. The atheist became a Christian. But I want to tell you about the Sikh. The Sikh went home to her parents and said, Mom and Dad, we're hypocrites. We say we're Sikh. We don't practice. What's up with that? And of course, her parents were like, how dare you? Who are you? You're a child. Don't talk to us. Like, we're the one who's teaching you things. But, you know, this girl's pretty fiery. And so she was like, okay, all right. And then walked away. Her dad came to her a week later and said, I want to apologize. You're right. We don't practice. Would you show us how to get to God? And the student opened up her binder and said, well, in InterVarsity, they teach us to pray. They teach us to study the teachings of Jesus. So I want us to start praying as a family together. And so now this Sikh family is praying to God together. It's just... it's so cool. And it keeps me on my toes. And I have no idea what I'm doing. But it's so fun because you get to see the power of God at work. I'll share one more story about a student. This is a pre-nursing student at Cal State Bakersfield. I met her on campus. We have a spiritual conversation. She's interested enough to go to an event. She goes to an event. I get to pray for her. She has a moment with God. She says, I feel the love of God. This is incredible. So I follow up with her. I meet with her. And she's like, what do I do now? And I was like, you have to start talking to God. And talking means you tell him things and you listen to him too. And so let's practice. And she's like, okay, you know. So we're listening to God, and she looks up, and she says, I hear something in my head. I hear Mark 15. Does that mean anything to you, Paul? Is that like the name of a weapon? Is that a code, you know? And I'm like, oh, that's a chapter in the Bible. And she says, oh, okay, that's good to know. And so I tell her, go home and read Mark 15. I give her a Bible, and she comes back 2 days later. We meet up, and she says, yeah, I read it. Don't get it. Means nothing to me. That was boring. That was weird. I don't know why you wanted me to read that. And I was like, well, what happened in it? And she's like, Jesus like got killed, and I don't know. It was really confusing. And then I just started to break down with her why Jesus had to die, that he died in her place, that he died for her. And she just started to bawl, just weeping, confessing her sin, praying. And I asked her, like, is there anything that would keep you from God? And she's like, well, I spent a long part of my life as a Satanist, dabbled in occult and demonic things, and I have had nightmares ever since, for years. And so we get to pray with her. 2 days later, she goes to a conference with us, and the speaker, halfway through the conference, says, I feel like there's some of you here that have been tormented by your dreams. And if that's you, come up and get prayer. And her hand like shot up in the air. She went down, she got prayer, and got delivered from demonic nightmares that have been tormenting her for years. So it's powerful what Jesus is doing. And I'll just share two more things. We've also included a lot more faculty and staff. And I'll tell you two things. So a professor at College of Sequoias is helping with one of our Bible studies. And he recently told me, he's like, Paul, I've never been more excited to go to work because I get to help students find, not just teach them, but find Jesus. We started a ministry for staff and faculty at Bakersfield College because they need support too. And one of them came to me and said, Paul, for years I've been walking on eggshells, not sure what I can say, not sure if I'm going to get fired for expressing my faith, but now I feel free. Finally, this is what he said. He said, finally, I can breathe. Because we've got a group of community and encouragement. He's not alone. They're not siloed. So what Kelsey said, this vision is to see campuses renewed, and we're seeing that. The last thing I'll share is we did the biggest outreach we've ever done in Bakersfield. And over the course of a week, this is about a month ago, over the course of a week, we talked to 1,770 students. Just incredible. Out of those, eight students right on the spot said, how do I follow Jesus? And we just got to lead them through deciding to follow Jesus right on the spot. So it's so fun. It's hard and heartbreaking, but amazing too.
Yeah. So those are some incredible victories of what God is doing here in Bakersfield on college campuses. Can you share briefly some of the challenges that you're facing as you're trying to reach these students?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges is we've had a lot of growth, and a lot of students are coming out of cults, manipulative, controlling environments, and so for them to find Jesus, they have to deconstruct their previous view of God so that they can find the real Jesus. And then secondly, a lot of students are coming in dealing with abandonment. They've been through traumatic things. They've been through church hurt. And so coming into these spaces, they're very skeptical. And so we have to help them find healing and inner healing and deal with kind of interpersonal issues for them to really embrace Jesus with all he has for them.
Yeah, amen. So here, the First Pres family, how are we able to get involved? How do we help? How do we come alongside you? What are ways we can dive in with you?
Yeah, that's amazing. We'd love your help. And there's a couple of ways. Like one, I've got a sign-up sheet outside if you want to pray for us. Once a month, I'll send you a video or a story of how Jesus is working in someone's life. So you can pray for us. That's the biggest thing that you can do. You could also host like a meal for like one of our leadership teams. So on a Friday night, we'll meet for our leadership team where we do deeper discipleship and prayer. And so you could host by feeding us. Don't worry, we would eat anything, like literally anything. That's the good thing about college students. Or you can get something at Costco, you know. Or you could bring a meal or food to like an event that we're doing on campus. Everything that we do is on campus, and food is the gateway to people's hearts and pointing them to Jesus. So, yeah, those are. Or if you need some work done at your house, we would love to bring a team of students and cut down a tree or paint a fence, and then you can make a donation to the scholarship fund, help students get to mission trips. That would be great too, and a way for us to bless you. It can't be anything technical though. We're not like handy, you know. Painting a fence, we could do. Don't ask us to do anything actually important.
All right, yeah. No electrical work from InterVarsity. Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Thank you, brother. Thank you. This is the hope of missions, that the next generation would know the things of God, and that even the children yet to be born to these college students would hear the good news and be transformed. This is the kind of work that can happen on a college campus. It can be generational impact. And my encouragement to you is to not just hear what's happening and say, oh, that's great, but hear what's happening and get involved somehow, certainly through prayer. It is the most important thing we can do as a church, is to be praying for the ministry of Paul, praying for the ministry of Kelsey. But also think about the different ways you can get involved. And not just with these ministries. We have a lot of missions partners around the world. Learn more about what we're doing as a church. Get involved. Because you see, our activity, our work as a church, it includes prayer and includes worship. But it also includes going and sending. It's supporting those who are in places like Bosnia or Albania, difficult places for a lot of us to get to, but important work being done. It's also important that we pay attention to what's happening here in our own city and be inspired by it. Because they're going and they're sharing the good news with college students. Are you sharing the good news with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with the fellow students you go to school with? You see, it's important to not only be inspired by a sense of, oh, how beautiful, but also to be inspired to action. How are we sharing the good news of a father who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, that we might have eternal life through his resurrection? Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would be at work in each and every one of us, empowering us to be about the Great Commission and sharing the good news with our neighbors near and far. And so to close our time in worship today, rather than the normal closing prayer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite Kelsey and Paul back up, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for their teams. We're going to pray for the work that's happening in these college ministries. But also, our prayer is that God would use what they're doing to inspire and empower us to share the good news with those around us in our different spheres of life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for what Kelsey and Paul are doing. God, we thank you for the lives saved, transformed by your work. We hear these stories, Lord, and we realize that they're not far away. They're right in our own backyard. Lord, you are saving people from their sins still. You are still living and active. We do not serve a God who is kind of sat back and is just watching, but you are active in our lives, and you are still about the business of showing mercy to your children, of saving people from their sins. God, by your Spirit, would you burden us for the lost? Would we long to see people who don't know Jesus get into a relationship with Jesus that they might be saved? Would we realize that this is not small and trivial, but these are eternal, weighty things? That as we do the work of missions, that this is heaven and hell stuff. So God, burden us with a love and a desire to see the lost come to Christ. God, we pray especially that you would strengthen and empower Kelsey and Paul to do the work that they're doing. Be with their teams as they're meeting with students, as they're sharing the good news, as they're learning what it is to be an evangelist on their own campus. God, we pray for these various Bible studies, for the ministries that are happening, and for the 6 different campuses here in Bakersfield who are currently being blessed by InterVarsity. We pray that the administration in San Joaquin would change their minds and allow the second group to meet. God, we pray for a powerful thing to happen in these campuses. We have longed for revival here in Bakersfield. God, what better place to start than in a college campus? So God, would you do powerful things through Kelsey, powerful things through Paul as they serve in Santa Barbara and here in Bakersfield? And God, would students come to know Jesus in such a powerful way that it creates generational transformation? Thank you for being a God who sees, a God who loves, a God who empowers us to be about your mission. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go, when you go, would you go in the love of the Father who sees you and draws you to himself? Would you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives you the courage to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know him? And would you go in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in his birth, his life, his death and resurrection, his ascension, and one day his return, where he will make all things new, and we will be with him in glory forever? Would you go in the name of God and the love of God? Amen and amen.